Our scripture today is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
That first Easter morn had come and gone. They had heard rumors of the miraculous, but they didn't believe it. How hard it is for God to break through to us, is it not? Our agendas are so important. Our preconceived notions are so set. Our itineraries are immovable. Jesus comes to them on the road, but they are not ready yet. One commentator suggests that the village that they were going to, Emmaus, was actually about 7 miles west of Jerusalem. And they were traveling that afternoon. So when they were traveling westward into the sun. There were no Ray-Bans in those days. And the sun was full in their face. And perhaps this was the reason that they didn't recognize him. Commentators are so quick to try to explain the miraculous that sometimes they miss the miraculous. Maybe the sun was in their eyes, but the truth is this: they were not ready to see Jesus. They just weren't. Jesus walks up to them and ask them, hey, what's going on? What are you talking about? He asked. And one of them named Cleopas. And this is really important here. If you have study notes in your Bible, you may have figured out who Cleopas is. Tradition has it, and historically, Cleopas is identified as the brother of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. So in a real way, Cleopas was his uncle. Cleopas answers, three very sad words come from the mouth of Cleopas during his answers. He says, are you the only one who hasn't heard everything that's been going on in Jerusalem? Are you the only being on the planet that hadn't heard the words about Jesus? And then these three words, we had hoped. Oh, man. We had hoped. There is nothing sadder than hope in the past tense. Have you ever been there? If you haven't lived long enough. You will be. When hopes are dashed, what's left? We had hoped. The miracle that day, and every day, literally, is that God stands ready to replace our dashed hopes with real hope if we but listen. Earlier in my life, I had my life all planned out, and I was going to be very wealthy. I was going to be a financial analyst of the first degree, and all of these plans were pointing towards a really, really big income. And those hopes were dashed. Well, that tends to happen when you get fired during your first year. And I went home to lick my wounds and be with my pastor. And Dudley, who was my pastor, he said, you need to rethink your priorities. And that evening, he did for me what Jesus did for these disciples. He opened my eyes to a new set of hopes. If right now in your life you're having a tough time and hope seems in meager portion, open yourself. Jesus began to prepare them that evening by opening the scripture to them. Oh man, why didn't they have even as something as a cassette recorder, even something as simple as that, so we would have those recorded words? But we have their best reckoning. He opened the scriptures to them one by one, and you can just kind of see their minds starting to fall into place. If you are stuck, you know what I mean by stuck, right? You can't make that next move. If you are stuck, get a red letter Bible. All the words of Jesus in red. And just read all the stuff in red. About love and forgiveness and hope and joy and fulfillment. Read all of those words. That's the way to get unstuck. Then there is an odd little sentence in the passage. It's easy to just kind of gloss over it. It says, he walked ahead, talking about Jesus. He walked ahead as if he were going on. Jesus did not force himself upon them. He waited to be invited. You've seen all of those pictures. One picture of Jesus knocking softly on the door, of him opening his arms wide, and other pictures. They're all pictures of invitation, not force. He waited to be invited. Think about that for a moment. We have the power in the form of free will, and we've talked about that many times, that wonderfully awful gift that has gotten us into and out of most of the trouble we've been in. We have the power to accept or reject that invitation. And even when we reject God, I believe that the door is always left ajar from God's point of view. God never, ever, ever, ever gives up on us. Jesus accepted their invitation that evening and stayed for dinner with them. And at the dinner table, they recognized him when? As he broke the bread. Now, we're quick to take that in a sacramental sense, aren't we? We think automatically of this table. But perhaps that wasn't it. This was not a sacramental meal. This was a real, honest to goodness, just meal. This was a regular dinner party. Perhaps they saw his hands as he broke the bread and remembered the same hands feeding the 5,000. Christ came to them in the ordinary. In the ordinary. Not like this, but in a simple room with a simple meal. Christ came to them in the ordinary, and then he was gone. So our caution is, be ready to receive the Christ, not just from 10:45 to 11:45 on Sunday morning, but every other hour of the week. Our encounters with Christ in this life are fleeting by design. Pay attention. And then what do they say? They say their hearts were... One translation says our hearts were strangely warmed. Another translation says our hearts burned within us. Religion is both, remember, both head and heart. Jesus came and explained it all to them. And they could receive that with their mind, but until their hearts were warmed, their experience wasn't full. What happened after that? That's the lesson for us. After that, what was the first thing they did? They rushed to tell the others. They could not wait to share their own good news. Sharing the good news takes many forms, does it not? It's not just grabbing someone by the collar and saying, "Do you know Jesus?" Most often it's not. It's in how you receive the stranger. It's how you go the extra mile. It's how you give your cloak. I have one of our members was driving along recently, and she saw a man sitting on his car. And he was literally begging on his car. He was an amputee. She didn't turn away. She went to him and she shared what she had at that moment with him. And in that moment, Christ was made real. I doubt that she ever said a word about church. I doubt that she said anything that was overtly religious, but the notion that she went and accepted him as a real child of God and did what she could at that moment to minister to him. That's what I mean. The next time your world caves in and all your hopes are dashed against the hard realities of life, and you find yourself trudging down the road toward Emmaus, pay attention. The Christ just might meet you on that road. Amen.